We're in 1 John chapter 4, and as we continue our study through this book, we're going to be looking at verses 17 through 21 this morning. So 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. As John continues this letter, he writes, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Let's pray. Lord, thank you so very much for the blessing and encouragement it has been to fellowship with your people this morning. Thank you for all the music that just lifts our thoughts, our hearts toward you. We trust, Lord, that you've been pleased by it, that you've been honored. Pray that you bless in that children's church hour and help those young men as they teach the children your word. May their hearts be just open to your voice today. And pray that you bless the deaf ministry going on as well. And please bless our study in your word. We ask for the help and guidance of your Spirit, Lord, and that our hearts would just be wide open to what you would say to us through the Bible, through your word today. May you be honored by how we receive your word and how we respond to it. I pray that your people would be built up, that our faith, Lord, our confidence, our trust in you would be strengthened, Lord, and that we would just find great rest and joy and stability and boldness and comfort through your love for us. Please use your word and help us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We've seen in our recent messages from 1 John, this important truth that God is love. God is holy. God is faithful. God is righteous. But God is love. And God's love is perfect. It cannot be improved upon. God's love never increases. It never decreases. It is everlasting. It is unchanging. God is love, and God's love is perfect. And yet God's love within us must be perfected. It is not automatically perfect. It must be perfected in the sense of its accomplishing its purposes within us. God's love, as it begins to mature and be perfected in us, well, it does this by causing us to know and experience God's love within us, for us to know it personally and intimately. God's love being perfected in us will lead us to a life of obedience. It will lead us to love one another. Earlier in this letter, John wrote in chapter 2 and verse 5, "But whoso keepeth his word," he that takes in God's word and then obeys it, "whoso keepeth his word, in him verily or truly is the love of God perfected." So one of the evidences that God's perfect love is being perfected in us, it's accomplishing its intended purpose, is that we obey, we keep his word. Chapter 4 and verse 12, "If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us." So obeying God shows that his love is being perfected in us. Another evidence of God's love being perfected in us is that we love one another. For our message this morning, we're going to explore this topic together, though, perfect love. We're going to focus our attention on this idea of perfect love as it's described in our text. We're going to, first of all, be able to recognize a certain bold characteristic of God's love as it's perfected in us. You might say, this is what it looks like, what God's perfect love looks like within us. Secondly, we're going to be reminded of its source. We'll be reminded of where it came from, what it looks like, where it came from, And then we're going to be encouraged to fulfill our responsibility with God's love. That is what this love does, or how this love is demonstrated in our lives. So, perfect love. What does it look like? Where did it come from? And how is it to affect the way we live? So, to guide our message this morning, let's consider three main ideas seen in our text that relate to this topic of perfect love. We'll note, first of all, the fearless character of perfect love. The fearless character of perfect love. Secondly, the first cause of perfect love. The first cause of perfect love. And then thirdly, the family command of perfect love. So let's go to verses 17 and 18 and let's consider this thought, the fearless character of perfect love. Back in verse 16, John said this, "We have known." That word know there, or known, is a very intimate word. It's used elsewhere in Scripture, the Greek Old Testament, to describe the intimate relationship between a husband and wife, which is more than head knowledge. There's an intimacy there. We have known, we've come to know by intimate experience and believe. Therefore, we have believed, we've come to have confidence in the love that God has to us. So we've known by intimate experience, and we've come to believe or have confidence in God's love for us. And then verse 17, John says, "Herein is our love made perfect." So the herein actually refers back to what he has just said in verse 16. And here's the connection. It's in this intimate knowledge of God's love for us, in our belief and confidence in God's love for us, that His love is perfected within us. God's love is made complete in us as we recognize and believe and have confidence that He really loves us. And then, as John goes on to explain, this affects us. Herein is our love made perfect. As we know and believe that God really loves us, it will give us boldness, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So as we are confident of God's love for us, His love is in a sense perfected, it's fulfilled, it's made complete in us, and it gives us boldness or confidence. It takes away our fear as we look forward to the day of judgment. For Christians, this is the day when you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of ourselves for how we've lived our lives. And then, as the last words of verse 17 imply, as God's love is perfected in us, then we're going to love as He loves, and we're going to live as He is, even in this present world. And as we love as Jesus loves, and as we live as He lives, we will have boldness in the day of judgment. The more we are like Jesus now, the greater boldness or confidence we're going to have when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Instead of being ashamed, we'll be confident. We don't have to fear that day. We can confidently anticipate it. So God's love is perfected in us. It leads to a fearlessness, a confidence, a boldness of saying, you know what, I'm not afraid to stand before God. I know that there are going to be things that I will perhaps regret that I've not done, or things that I have done, but ultimately I know this, that He loves me and He fully accepts me. And as that love is perfected in me, it gives me that boldness, that fearless character of perfect love. Chapter 2 and verse 28, John said, "Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence." That's the same word as boldness in verse 17 here. That we may have confidence, we may have boldness, and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. John chapter 17, verses 15 through 17, Jesus prays a prayer for His immediate disciples, but that prayer extends to those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ today. And here's what Jesus prayed. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Because as he is, so are we in this world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we are in the world, but we are not of the world, just as our Lord is not of this world. What does that mean? Well, for one thing, it means this, that we don't love the world. We don't love the world, the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's not what we live for as Christians. We love the Lord. And as we love God, as His love is perfected in us, and we live as He is, that is, He is righteous and He is godly, as we live that way, then we need not fear standing before Him one day. One preacher said, yet even on that solemn occasion, when we stand in the day of judgment, on that solemn occasion, a believer may have confidence that God will approve the quality of his life through love. That believer, while in this world, becomes like him. The unloving Christian is unlike his Lord and may anticipate rebuke or loss of reward at the judgment seat of Christ. So as God's love, if this perfect love is in us, here's what it's going to look like. It's going to cause us to live as He lived, as He is in this world. And that's going to give us boldness or confidence in the day of judgment. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13 explain that if we live as true saving grace teaches every Christian to live, that is soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, then we can look forward with joy to the day of Christ's glorious appearing. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness, fearlessness, confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. We might mention here that while believers are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of themselves and be rewarded for their service to Christ, unbelievers are going to be at a separate judgment. As we understand the Scriptures, there is the judgment seat of Christ, but the book of Revelation describes the great white throne judgment, which will take place at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. And let me tell you something, in that day of judgment, no one will have boldness or confidence, because every person who stands in that judgment will already be condemned. It is a judgment for those who have rejected Jesus Christ. They've rejected His love. The book of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12 says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, and it's to be understood that no one's name there was found written in the Lamb's book of life. They're cast into the lake of fire. And this is something that every person here today needs to seriously consider. Are you ready to meet God in the day of judgment? It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. When we die, we do not cease to exist. Death is merely the doorway into eternity. And when we enter eternity, every person will have their opportunity to stand before God. For a believer in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. We will stand before Him simply to receive reward according to our faithfulness, our living like He is while we are in this world. If we live like He is, we'll have boldness. As His love is perfected in us, as we love Him and we abide in Him, we'll not be ashamed. But if you're here without Jesus Christ, when you die, if you remain in that condition without having trusted Him, you will have no confidence. You'll have no boldness then. It's amazing how bold, and I would say just utterly foolish and hard-hearted, lost people can be when it comes to judgment. Remember very distinctly, it's been probably 2 or 3 months ago, and John and I were visiting door to door in Tryon. There's one man in particular that we had the opportunity to witness to and talk with him, and the man was just completely hard and arrogant. And basically, we were not able to convince him to put his faith and trust in Christ. And he basically made this concluding statement that he is ready and he's going to stand before God unashamed. And as a man who completely rejects Jesus Christ, his finished work on the cross, his shed blood, and I say there's a man who is blinded. And he may claim that boldness now, but he will not have that in that day. And every mouth will be stopped. And my question is for us here today, are we ready? If we have this perfect love, we need not fear that day. But again, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. In other words, if a man doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity, Paul said, let him be anathema. That is, let him be accursed at the return of our Lord. Those who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ now will be ashamed. They will have fear. They will have no boldness or confidence in that day of judgment. But those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, His love is perfected in us. We can look forward to standing before Him without fear, but with boldness and confidence. When our Lord returns, we will not be among those who are crying out for the rocks and mountains to hide us from the face of Him that sits on the throne. We will love His appearing. We will be glad to see Him, if indeed we have been as He is while we are in this world. Verse 18, John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now in verse 17, John explains the fearless character of perfect love as it applies specifically to the day of judgment. But in verse 18, he gives us a general truth how this perfect love plays out just in life in general. Not just when we stand before God, but at any time, right now, no matter what we're going through, there's no fear in love. He explains this general truth that perfect love is without fear. When the Holy Spirit pours God's love into our hearts, when our love is made perfect, when we know by experience that God loves us, when we have confidence of that, it casts out fear. Because John explains, fear has torment. And God does not want us to live with tormenting fear. And while perfect love does have a deep reverence for God, perfect love has no fear of condemnation from God. As the Holy Spirit pours forth the love of God into our hearts, it casts out this fear. And that's not just in reference to the judgment seat of Christ, but it's always. Fear, perfect love, and fear cannot coexist in the same heart. Fear casts out love. And as our hearts are filled with God's love and our confidence in His love for us, there's not room for other fears, tormenting fears, to be there. This, by the way, is one reason why a world puts on such a hard front on the outside. You know, for many years there were these graphics that were put out that said, no fear. Yeah. Well, that's not true. If your heart's not perfect in God's love, now you have fears. You may put on a front, or else you're just blind and deceived. But back in verse 17, there's an interesting thought here. The word for judgment in verse 17, the underlying word for that, the Greek word, is this word. If we were to say it directly from Greek into English, here it is. It's the word crisis. That's the word. If you were to spell it out letter for letter from Greek to English. So, God's love for us then gives us boldness or confidence. It casts out fear. Yes, in the day of future judgment, that's going to be a crisis day, a time of judgment. But there's a further application here when we think about this idea of crisis. In other words, when we have confidence that God loves us, that we are fully accepted of Him, it will protect us from tormenting fears. It will protect us from doubting His wondrous love in the day of crisis on earth. Anybody ever been through a crisis situation? Maybe you're in that right now. We experience crises in life. And it's during those times that we especially need the assurance and the confidence that God loves us, that God has not forgotten about us, God has not turned against us. We sang the song this morning about it's just like His great love to roll the clouds away. Why is it? Because there are sometimes we go through troubles and we doubt His wondrous love, and the clouds seem to shield us or hide us from God's wondrous love. But literally, what we're understanding here is that if we have this perfect love, which comes from just knowing and believing that God loves me and He'd never do anything wrong against me and He's always going to love me, His love is perfect, He never loves me more or less than He ever has. As I believe that, it will protect my heart against tormenting fears in the days of crisis on earth. During such times, when we face crises in our lives, we can have this perfect love assuring us that God loves us. He's not forsaken us. He has not forgotten us. This is what perfect love looks like. Corrie Ten Boom, many have heard that name. But Corrie Ten Boom and her family protected over 800 Jews from the Nazis during the Holocaust. Before the family, the Ten Booms, were betrayed and arrested by the Gestapo in 1944. She was sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp along with her sister Betsy. And Corrie Ten Boom later recounted that amid the death, the despair, the crisis, that she had told her sister Betsy that God had forgotten about them. Betsy, God has forgotten us. We're in this crisis. And she had this tormenting fear that God had forgotten about them. But Betsy Ten Boom said this, "No, Corrie, He has not forgotten us. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him." Well, Betsy died in that camp. But Corrie would spend the rest of her life telling about God's love and faithfulness. And Corrie Ten Boom once said this, "There is an ocean of God's love available. There is plenty for everyone. May God grant you never to doubt that victorious love, whatever the circumstances." Perfect love, the fearless character of love, that no matter what crisis, whether it be the ultimate day of judgment when I stand before Christ, or right now in the crisis as I am as He is in this world and I suffer as Jesus did, this perfect love casts out all tormenting fear. Isaiah 43 verse 1 says this, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name," and He knows your name and mine. "I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Since thou wast precious in my sight, and I have loved thee." God says, "I love you with an everlasting love. I know you by name. And it doesn't matter what kind of crisis you pass through, I will be with you. My love will never change." Isaiah 49:14, "But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb. Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Perfect love casts out tormenting fear. The fearless character of perfect love. It's not our love for God that's perfect. It's God's love for us. It never changes. You can do nothing to make God love you more than He loves you right now, and He always has, and you can do nothing to make Him love you less. We sang it this morning. I've sinned against this great love of His, and yet He still loves me. And when we kneel to pray, He forgives our sins and He draws us back into fellowship. By the way, the absence of fellowship does not mean an absence of love. And God loves you when you're sinning and when you're not sinning. You can't enjoy that fellowship unless you're walking in the light, but let this thing just rest in your heart that God loves you with an everlasting love. And as you do that, it will cast out tormenting fears. And fear can be a very tormenting thing. The fearless character of love. Secondly, the first cause of perfect love, verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. In verse 19, John reminds us that perfect love has God as its first cause. We love Him only because He first loved us and drew us to Him. It means this, that if you have any love in your heart for Jesus Christ, it is evidence that He loves you. He loves you first. He loved me ere I knew Him. Before we ever thought of God, He loved us and drew us to Him. And the very fact that we love Him is assurance that He first loved us. It's almost like John is trying to say, Christian, get it! God really does love you. There's another side of this. We love Him because He first loved us means that we can only have perfect love toward God and toward others as we first receive His love for us. You see, we really can't love until we know and confidently believe that we are loved. That's true in human relationships. There is a reciprocating effect in relationships where, again, as people get closer together, it's take one step forward and to get closer. And as I feel and have confidence, as I know and believe that I'm accepted, then it helps me to love more. And it just, you get closer and closer. And this is the way it is in our relationship with God, but it's the first step is you're acknowledging and believing that God loves you. But until you've received God's love for you, you really can't love Him and love others. The good news, the gospel, is that this love is available to every single person by faith in God's Son. I mean, really, there could be nothing in this universe, nothing in this world that is more precious, more valuable than God loving us. I mean, really, if God loves us, understanding all that God's love is, His love is perfect. I mean, if you have that, what more could you need? That because with God's love comes everything else. The first cause of perfect love. Jeremiah records the words, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The Lord's loving us and presently drawing us to Him is evidence of the fact that He's loved us from eternity past. I can remember as a teenager, 15 years old, at a Christian camp not too far from here, that God's Spirit began to pour forth the love of God into my heart. And it was an amazing thing. It was like lights came on. It was like a river flooded into my soul. When for the first time in my life, I came to know and experience and believe the love that God has for me. And it was an amazing thing. I remember having gotten assurance of salvation, surrendered my life to the Lord. I remember walking out of the activity center back to our cabins and looking up into the sky and seeing just this clear, cloudless night, all the stars there, and thinking, wow, this is amazing that the God who created all of this loves me. It was just an amazing thing. It changed my life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." By the way, that includes you. You're in the world, right? Anybody here today? Since I'm halfway here, preacher. I understand. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The first cause of perfect love. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. The fact that I love Him proves that He loves me. Yeah. But if you're here this morning and you say, I don't have that relationship, what you need to do is receive the Lord's love. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." If you'll receive Him, He says He stands at the door and knocks. He's just waiting for an entrance into your life. He says, "If anyone will hear My voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with Me." Finally, there's the family command of perfect love. Verse 20, if a man say, "I love God," and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? In verse 20, John again reminds us that one cannot truly love God while not also loving one's brother. John reasons with a question. He asks, how can we love God whom we've not seen, but not love those who are right in front of us? Well, the answer is you really can't. But verse 21, John goes on to say this, "This commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. God has commanded everyone in His family to love every member of His family." And those who claim to love God, those who would even claim to be confident about standing before Him one day, "I'm ready to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I have boldness. I'm looking forward to the return of Christ." Those who would claim to love God, to have boldness and confidence about standing before the Lord in the day of judgment, but who are not loving their Christian brothers and sisters, are, as John put it, by Holy Spirit boldness and bluntness, liars. Love for God. Perfect love. Love for God and hatred for a brother cannot coexist in the same heart. This is a love that fills, a love that's complete. In a heart, a life that has perfect love, there's no room for tormenting fear. In a heart that's filled with love for God will overflow in love for others. Therefore, if we would have perfect love, a love that casts out fear, a love that will have boldness in the day of judgment, confidence in the day when we stand before Him, but even that confidence, that assurance in the day of crisis on earth, if we're going to have those things, we've got to keep the Lord's family command to love one another. We must love God, He who loveth God. We must love the God whom we've not seen with our eyes. And Peter told us that, "Whom having not seen, ye love." Yes, we do love Him, but we've also got to love those that are right in front of us. those whose faults we see. We say, well, I don't see God's faults. He's so perfect. He has no faults. Even if we could see him, that's why we can't pray. Say, but I can see the faults of those. I can see my brother. I can see his faults. Yep. And perfect love loves in spite of the object, right? Is that not what God's perfect love is? He loved us while we were yet sinners. May each of us experience and have this perfect love. God, thank you for allowing us to spend this time in your word. We thank you, Lord, that your love is perfect. We thank you that it never changes. Lord, unfortunately, because ours waver so often and we sin and we break fellowship, that we doubt your wondrous love. And yet, Lord, it's a comforting and it's an awesome truth to remember, Lord, that you love us with an everlasting love. Nothing can change that. Nothing in time or eternity, no man, no created being, period, can separate us from your love. No tribulation, no crisis. And I pray that we might live with that confidence and that we might love others as you love us. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I ask you this question? Have you known and believed God's love for you? Have you received God's gift of love, His Son, Jesus Christ? Have you received Him as your Lord? Can you truly say, yes, Jesus loves me? This I know, for the Bible tells me so. How many today could say, preacher, I have that assurance. I have personally received Jesus Christ. I've believed on Him. I've confessed Him as my Lord. I have that assurance today. If you could give that testimony, would you quietly raise your hand? You'd say, yes, I'm trusting in Jesus for my salvation. Thank you. If you're here today and you're unable to raise your hand, would you right now be willing to open your heart and receive the Lord? He loves you. He came all the way from heaven to die for your sins. He rose from the dead. He offers eternal life. He wants a personal relationship with you. But He leaves the handle to your heart's door on the inside. You must open it. He will not force Himself upon anyone. But is there anyone here today that would say, preacher, God has been drawing me to Himself? And today I realize that He really does love me. I realize that Jesus Christ died for my sins. He rose again. And right here, right now, as best as I understand, as best as I know how, I'm saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. God, I want that relationship with you. I want you to save me. I want to know that you are mine and that I am yours. Is there anyone who would raise their hand and say, preacher, that's the decision I'm making by faith right here, right now. I want to receive Christ. And by raising my hand, I'm saying, God, that's my decision today. If that's you, would you quietly raise your hand? Anyone at all, you'd say, yes, today I want to receive Christ. All right, Christian, is God's love being perfected in you? Are you living confidently through God's love, without fear, without tormenting fear, whether it be of future judgment, standing before the Lord, giving account one day, or even in present crisis? Are you trusting the Lord? What more can He say than to you He hath said? He loves you. Are you having that boldness, that fearless character of perfect love? And are you loving Christian brothers and sisters, those whom you've seen? Do you still love? Is the love of God flowing through you? Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts. May your word be a help to us. May you receive glory from the change that it makes in the way we think and live now and into the future. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.